This podcast replay is brought to you by EssentialMovingExperts.com. 5-star rated. 25 years of experience in the moving business. Family owned and operated. They offer free 30-day storage. Fully licensed, bonded, and insured. Mention the Big O and get $150 off. Moving was never so easy. EssentialMovingExperts.com.
We are back. By the way, I get entertained sometimes by the folks watching and chatting sometimes, and we got the UCF folks that, you know, they give themselves titles. And so I just want you to know, I don't mean it. I wish everyone well, USF, UCF, FIU, FAU, all these other teams in the state. But the only three teams that are going to have a shot at a real national title, not the stuff that you give yourself, the ones you earn, it's going to be Miami, Florida, and Florida State. Okay, so for those of you out there that are UCF fans, hey, man, you've done a great job building up that program, but you got to win something first. Okay, so, you know, I love your passion. I get it. It's just misplaced. That's all. All right. Let's start off segment number three. You know, sometimes you got to put them in their place. All right. Let's start off with the first one. Let's go with UNC and Miami, because I'm still trying to figure out what the hell Vegas knows over us, because I would never have figured that Miami was going to be favored by 4 points in this game. Maybe even, maybe a point, but probably UNC favored by a point or two, because that offense is – lighting it up, Manny. Miami has no secondary. I think my grandmother can get behind that secondary. DJ Ivy must have naked pictures of somebody in that coaching staff, because they keep putting him out there every single week, and he keeps, you know, looking like Paul Warfield.
J.B. Brown.
J.B. Brown, or what was the other one that I'm trying? Paul Langford, not Warfield. There you Paul go. Langford. For the Dolphins, number 44, one of the best toast artists that you'll ever remember. Just give him some butter and then move on. So talk to me here. What the hell? I can't explain this one. What do they know that we don't?
Well, they must be giving Kevin Steele some credit left over from his days at Auburn, because when he went head-to-head with Phil Longo, and Phil Longo was the coordinator at Ole Miss, he beat him 2 years in a row in 2017 and 2018. And, you know, Phil Longo had some good receivers there, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Van Jefferson. Those guys turned out to be pretty good players, made it to the NFL, and yet, you know, somehow, some way, Kevin Steele and that Auburn defense were able to slow guys down. So maybe that's it. Maybe they're going on that history, but I agree with you. I don't see how you could pick Miami in this game to be a favorite, much less win. I think just all the momentum is in North Carolina's favor. They played their best game of the season. They're coming off of that a few days ago, against Virginia Tech, where they held them to under 100 yards rushing. So, and they've got talent on that defense. They've just got a lot of young players on that defense that have to sort of figure things out. So, and Drake May is fourth in the country in quarterback rating. Right now, I mean, this is a kid who's in his first year, 19 touchdowns, one interception, just running an efficient, high-scoring offense. And so, yeah, I don't see what Las Vegas knows, unless, again, like I told you earlier today, unless Miami's unveiling the Wildcat on Saturday, they're just going to hold on to the ball for 50 minutes and somehow keep the North Carolina offense off the field. I don't see how Miami should be favored in this.
And you talked a little bit about it at the start of the show. They are littered with injuries all over the place on this team. So they're not very good, and yet they're going to be missing some of their better players.
Yeah, and really, you know, the injuries I'm looking for, Tyreek Stevenson, who's their number one cornerback, you know, I heard last week that it wasn't a good situation for him. We'll see. The coaches are the best coverage and the best blocking that I've seen from Miami all season happened on Monday. When the coaches were covering up the injuries, they just did not want to talk about it. The stiff arms we got from them were unbelievable. We'll find out Saturday soon enough. But yes, Tyreek Stevenson, Daryl Porter, who should probably be their number two cornerback, was kind of building towards that. I don't know where he's at in his injury. He kind of messed up his shoulder. You got the two running backs, you got Elijah Royal. Those five guys could all be out this week. And if that's the case, even a bigger, tougher task for the team.
Wow. And by the way, any other nuggets in this matchup that you're worried about that Canes fans should be looking at, or something that you like in this matchup that you think they could take advantage of?
Well, I mean, the one thing North Carolina has sort of struggled with all season is the running game in terms of stopping it. I mentioned that they had their best, you know, run performance against Virginia Tech. If Thad Franklin can run the ball successfully, and I think he can. I mean, Miami was running the ball well until they ran into Middle Tennessee State. But if they can get back to being that kind of a team, and I think that's the key to victory here. You're going to need Tyler Van Dyke to make some big plays here and there. But I think the key really is just to keep North Carolina's offense off the field as much as you can, sort of disrupt their rhythm. Because what happens is, you know, their defense gives up points so quickly, the offense never really has to worry about it. They're right back out there. So I think, you know, for Miami's case, playing some ball control might be the key to disrupting them. I think that's the key to the game for Miami.
Yeah, if they can punish them with Thad, maybe they got a shot there to keep that offense, you know, off the field a little bit there. All right. Give me this. Give me the pick. Miami is favored by 4, the over and under 66. Yeah. What do you like here in this game?
I would take North Carolina. I'm going to be conservative here. I'm going to say 42-28 UNC. I think Miami's offense scores some points. I think Tyler Van Dyke plays better. I just think Miami's not good enough to win this game.
All right. We move on. Saturday night, under the lights, 8 o'clock. Florida State and NC State. NC State favored by 3. The over and under is 50.5 in this one. Ira, when I look at this offense, NC State, the spirit of Tony Sperano lives. They love to kick a lot of field goals in this offense. So it's not a great offense, but the problem is FSU, not a great defense either. So will this be a problem that might give NC State a more of an opportunity to finish some of these drives?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of when I was listening to Kevin talk about the Florida-Missouri matchup, I was thinking it sounds similar to, I think, what we're going to see Florida State-NC State. NC State's offensive line is not very good. Clemson's defensive line, of course, just destroyed their offensive line, and that's been a big problem for NC State's offense. Devin Leary was one of the top quarterbacks in the country last year, but their offensive line's been bad, and he doesn't have quite the same skill around him. But the problem is Florida State's defensive line, because it's banged up, has not been all that impressive, so you don't know if they can take advantage of it. And the secondary is okay, but they're not, you know, they can't cover guys forever. And that was part of the problem against Wake Forest, is Sam Hartman had a lot of time on some of those third down throws. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a challenge. If Florida State, I think Florida State's offense will have some success up there, but the defense has to play really well for them to have a chance in this game, a lot better than they did this past week against Wake Forest.
You know, as Jordan Travis has played well, but I kind of look at it that maybe one of the strengths for FSU, maybe running the ball, like on a game like this, on the road, and you know, when I'm watching App State at Texas A&M, since we were talking about this earlier, and they are pounding the crap out of Texas A&M, and they continue to punch them in the mouth, that is not just demoralizing for the players on the field, but it demoralizes the stadium. And so I'm wondering, if I'm FSU here, I want to help out Travis. I want to make his life a little easier. I think that FSU running game could be a real key in this game. You tell me.
I mean, it would be great too. And I think that, you know, again, from the mentality of practice today, the way that offensive line coach Alex Atkins was really pushing his players to be aggressive and be more assertive at the point of attack, that makes me feel like you're right. That's what they want to do. But I really think the key to that, if they are going to run the football more, is Jordan has to keep it sometimes too, because, you know, partly because they're trying to prove he's a passing quarterback, partly because he got banged up a couple weeks ago against Wake Forest. He never even thought about keeping it on the RPO. He kept giving the ball. He needs to keep it for himself sometimes. Maybe even some designed runs where doesn't even have a read to make, just to put pressure on the defense, because that's what opens things up for the other running backs. And if he's not a threat to run, then I think it's going to be a tough time for those other running backs. I do think you're right. I think they have to run it a lot, especially on the road in a tough environment. But Jordan has to run it too, assuming he's healthy enough to do it, because he was banged up a couple weeks ago. Hey,
he got rid of the brace. He's Speedy Gonzalez now.
He's did. You're right.
It was that big ass brace that was stopping him. Now he's going to take off now.
We'll
That's
see.
It. He's like Josh Allen now. He's just going to run all over people and everything.
We'll see. NC State's defensive line is legit. And one of the key guys who had a big game against them last year, is a former FSU football player, Corey Durden, who played defensive tackle for here, transferred NC State. He's still there. He's at nose guard, and he's a problem as well.
All right, give us any concerns that you have going into this game, right, in this matchup.
Yeah, you know, I'm really, the biggest thing to me is, can the offense operate? And really, I think it's going to be the most hostile crowd they faced. I mean, they did go on the road to Louisville, but that wasn't a great Louisville crowd. Louisville has gotten off to a tough start this season. It wasn't a packed house. That team, I think the fan base is lukewarm to cold on Scott Satterfield. So it wasn't a real hostile environment. And then the LSU game was half and half. It was in New Orleans, but half the crowd was FSU fans. It was like a bowl environment. So NC State is a sneaky, tough place to play. And I don't know. There you go. The Wolfpack, baby. It is. They're right on top of you. Those fans get liquored up. It's 8 o'clock at night. And man, they are those fans are there to release all their hostility for having to live in Raleigh, North Carolina. And so it is hot and intense in there. And that's going to be the question. Can Florida State handle that? This is, to me, the most hostile environment they'll have played in so far.
All right. Interesting. All right. So give me a pick in this game. NC State is favored by 3. The over and under is 50.5. What do you think happens in this game?
Yeah, man. I'm gonna say NC State. I think NC State's gonna win it 27-21. I just have concerns. The offense could score enough and the defense can get enough stops. And the environment, I'd say 27-21 NC State.
Our insiders 0-2 right now. We'll see if Kevin's got the bravery badge for this week. All right. Kevin, Mizzou and Florida. You look at Mizzou and they are what, like 7 points away from undefeated, playing tough against Auburn, tough against Georgia. It's a team that it's got a lot of grit to it. So Florida better walk into this game ready to get into a fight is kind of what I feel like.
Yeah, Big O. I think when you look at how Missouri performed last week against Georgia and really had them on the ropes, the number one team in the country, if that doesn't get your attention, I don't know what will. And I'm going to throw a get smart line at you. Would you believe if I told you it's been 364 days since Florida won its last SEC game? October 9th, 2021 against Vanderbilt. 6 in a row, which is kind of crazy if you think about it, going back to the implosion last year under Dan Mullen. So, I mean, this is really a critical game for Florida, too. I mean, they're 0-2 in the league now. They really need kind of a pick-me-up here, and this is an opportunity. I'm surprised the line seems a little high to me. I think this is going to be a much closer game than you think.
I agree.
Because of how Missouri performed against Georgia. I mean, I think that they are –
And Auburn, they played Auburn tough. Yeah.
Exactly. Had him on the ropes. I think, for the bright side, if you're a Gator fan, you've got Anthony Richardson coming off 2 really good games in a row. You know, that 75-yard touchdown pass. I know it was Eastern Washington, but, the fact that he looks like he's in a little bit of a groove now, he's starting to mature, throwing the football a lot more in sync with his receivers. That's got to be a positive sign. But this offensive line, that'll be the huge key of the game. Can they protect them against a Missouri defensive front that's got some dudes to always have some dudes, right? They've had Michael Sam in the past. They've had, Sheldon Richards. Now they have this guy, Isaiah McGuire, who's projected as an NFL draft pick. So that's going to be the really key of the game, I think, is, protecting Anthony Richardson and being able to establish the line of scrimmage. And I think if they do that on homecoming, they're gonna finally break that schneid and get a conference win.
Well, Mizzou, one of the things also that's kind of been a bugaboo for them this year is mistakes, man. They will commit penalties. They're in the middle of the pack in the NCAA when it comes to the rankings. So they will make mistakes. Can Florida play a clean football game and be the team that doesn't make the mistakes? Because Mizzou seems to be one that will give you some opportunities throughout the game.
Yeah, and really the key is to be turnover free too. And Anthony Richardson did that first play in the third quarter, did throw another pick. It was kind of a punt. I mean, it was into coverage. It was a deep ball that he took a shot on. But, that's of his five games this year, the only game where he has not committed a turnover is Utah, the first game, where arguably one of his most impressive. So I think that's going to be a key to ball security, taking care of the ball, and maybe to force a turnover too under, Brady Cook, who's an inexperienced quarterback. He can scramble a little bit too. Florida's got to be you know, kind of, you know, mindful of that, spying that, staying in their gaps, making sure that he doesn't break off those runs. And the defense, too, I just think in general is a concern. Trey Dean is, you know, he missed last week. He's a little banged up starting safety. Ventrell Miller sat out the Eastern Washington game, but probably just as a precaution. But, you know, he played against Tennessee. I would expect him to be back. So those are a couple of little injury concerns going into the matchup.
All right, Kevin, give me the prediction. Florida by 11 points in this one. The over and under is 55.5. I don't know. I'm not really jiving with Vegas on most of these spreads on all these three games. So
I'll say Florida's going to win, but they're not going to cover. I think it's going to be a 21-17 game. Gators are going to pull it out. I just don't think Missouri has enough offensively to exploit it. Even for as inconsistent as Florida's defense has been, I think they will rise to the occasion somewhat in this game, given some of the problems on Missouri's offensive line.
Yeah, they're not a great passing team. They're not a great passing team, Missouri. So yeah, that would be something. I like your thinking that it'll be a low scoring game. It's really not going to be a high. It's not going to be where they're normally at. What are the Gators averaging, about 33 points a game? I don't think you're going to be in that neighborhood. You're right about that.
Yeah, and don't forget some of that was inflated by the Eastern Washington, game. If it happened, it didn't happen. I mean, 52. So they've been in the mid to high 20s, I would say, most of the season against regular competition.
Well, when you play at Sandals, you must entertain. So these are the things you have to do, Kevin. All right. So on behalf of Kevin Brockway, Ira Schoffel, Manny Navarro, Sean Stanley, who masters the entire platform every single day, I am Orlando Alzigary. Seminoles, Gators, and Canes fans, thank you for tuning in. We will catch you next week. You Canes fans, stay tuned, baby. Mike McCoy is coming up with the Miami Hurricanes Watch.